I think it is a difficult a question for all. How do we find our place in God's mission? And as an individual, how do I find my place in God's mission? What God wants me to do? What is God's will for me? In what way I can contribute in God's mission? In which direction God wants me to lead? In which direction God wants me to move? I think these are a questions we all wrestle. And not only we as common believers and Christians, even the people who have the deep understanding of the Word of God, the scholars, they do wrestle with such questions. What is our place? What is my place as individual, and what is our place as a church in God's mission? I think when I look at this passage, here a young Jewish poor girl is wrestling with this question as well. What is my place in God's mission? How do I discover God's will for me? And she is wrestling with this question. With regard to Mary, who struggles in finding her place in God's mission, there are three movements in this passage, which I want to highlight from this conversation between an angel of God and a young Jewish girl. And I think it's beautifully recorded by Dr. Luke in his gospel account. The first movement we find in the verses 26 to 29, when the angel of God came to a young and a poor Jewish girl. Her name was Mary. And the angel came and said, "Greetings, peace be with you." But along with that, if we look at the passage, there are other phrases are attached with this greetings. And the angel said, "You are highly favored one. You are a highly favored one. The Lord is with you." As looking at the Greek text, it's not a favored one by a human person or a human being. God is favoring her. You are highly favored by God. The Lord is with you. And even in the Byzantine Greek text and modern Greek text, there is another third phrase, which we don't find in NIV and modern English Bibles, that you, blessed are you among women. These are the three phrases together with the greetings. You're a highly favored one. God is favoring you. The Lord is with you. And you are blessed among women. And not a human person is saying that. This is the angel of God, the Gabriel. Might be thousands and millions are angels. We don't know that number exactly. But the two angels are particularly mentioned in the scriptures with name, the Gabriel and the Michael. And of course, it's a very significant angels. And here is the Gabriel came to this young Jewish girl. And look at the response of Mary when she heard that the Lord is with you. You are highly favored and blessed are you among women. And the Mary response is in verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She greatly troubled. She is confused, perplexed. What sort of greeting this is? Here the question comes, a question of inadequacy. Who me? Who am I? I am not I'm not adequate. I am completely insignificant. To whom the angel of God saying, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You are blessed among women." It's a personal inadequacy. I'm really insignificant. I'm just a junior. I have no capacity at all. And if we look at from a human perspective, we might think that the angel actually made a mistake. He must have gone to a Jerusalem where all the hierarchy is sitting there, the political leadership and the religious leadership. The temple of God is there, the Levites and the priests are there. He must have gone to Jerusalem. Why did he go to a town called Nazareth and Galilee to a young Jewish and very poor girl? We do know that humans make mistakes, but angels don't make mistakes. He went to the right place. He went to the right person with the right message where God sent him to go. And he went to a young, poor Jewish girl, Mary. Who me? And not only Mary is wrestling with this question, we find there are other examples in the scriptures. When God called Moses, and God gave him a task, and God said, now you go. I am sending you to Pharaoh and bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But look at the response in Exodus chapter 3. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I am insignificant. I am not worthy for this task. And if we read the Exodus chapter 3 and 4, at the end, Moses actually says to God, go and find someone else. I am not adequate for this task. I am completely insignificant. I'm not worthy. Who me? And if we move further in the Old Testament from Exodus to Book of Judges, we find the Gideon. The Book of Judges. The angel of God came, go in strength you have and save Israel. Gideon responds, pardon me, my Lord. Pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I am the least, and my clan is the weakest. Who me? Who am I? I am a completely insignificant person. I'm not worthy for the star for which you are calling me. And then we see that Jeremiah, when God called him for the prophetic ministry, God was calling him to be a prophet and go and profess his message. That was the ministry for which God was calling Jeremiah. And look, Jeremiah's response, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Who me? Who am I? I'm not worthy for this task. Who me question is there. And when we look at these responses, and we find that God never said that I disagree with you, you are worthy. You're telling lie. You have so many abilities and all that. God didn't say that. God agreed with their inadequacy. God agreed. The God's response, if you look at all these passages, God said, I am with you. I am with you. God didn't say like this, what you are saying, you are not right. You are adequate. You have so many skills. You have so many abilities. You have abilities of leadership and all that. God didn't say. God knew that they are inadequate people. And when we move from first movement to second movement in this passage, and the angel said, the message gave to Mary, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. But Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? She moves from who me to how me question. And her question is very genuine. How me? How it is possible? It is not possible because I do not know a man. And if you go back in this particular passage, you would find that there is another man, the priest Zechariah. When the angel came with a message that God is going to give them, bless them with a child, the news of the John the Baptist, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." How many question is there? Zechariah's how many and Mary's how many? And I was trying to find out that what is the difference between Zechariah's how many and Mary's how many? And there is a difference. Because if we look back in the history, and Zechariah was a priest, and there the history of Israel starts from Abraham. And there are many other examples in the Old Testament, but particularly that this example, this precedent is there, that God gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac in their old age. There was a precedent, there was example when God blessed the people in their old age, when there was no hope at all. And being a priest, it was he was well familiar of that story. Their story, the story of Israel starts with Abraham. But in Mary's how me question is very genuine, because there is no precedent, no example in the history that a virgin gave birth to a child. She is saying, how it is possible? It is not possible. She couldn't understand that. And we see that, you know, when we come at the end of this passage, we find that Mary agreed, you know, after these questions, who me and how me and how me to yes me, Lord. Let it be according to your will. I am willing. I was thinking that, was it easy for Mary to say yes me? Was it easy for Mary? Not at all. She was well aware of the consequences of the society, of the context in which she was living, and the Old Testament law was clear in front of her. The price which she was going to pay and the consequences she was going to face was huge. We can't understand even. We can't think. It's beyond our thinking. And particularly if you look at the context, the culture, the full of shame and honor. And my context is actually a very much similar. The context of culture of honor and shame, where the fathers kill their daughters just in the name of honor and shame. Brothers kill their sisters in the name of honor and shame. And if the family is spares that, community will not spare. In that context, he is saying, yes, me, Lord, yes, me, Lord. Because she understood, this is my part in God's big mission which I have to play. It was not easy, knowing all the consequences and the price he was going to pay. Probably you will have come across this book, the Philip Yancey's book, The Jesus I Never Knew. He actually tried to highlight some of the struggles the Mary faced in raising Jesus in that context. It was not easy for her. At that time, she had no idea that how God is going to provide a cover for her. How God is going to convince Joseph. At that time, she had no clue, no idea at all. But she agreed that, yes me, Lord, yes me. I am willing for this task for which you are calling me. I am willing. Yes, me. Let it be to me according to your word. It's really hard for her. knowing all the consequences and the price he had to pay. But he understood that this is my role which I have to play in God's big mission. This is my role, that I should become an instrument to bring God's Messiah into this world. I have to play my role. This is my place which I have to find in God's mission. I have to play my part in God's mission. And she did. Despite all the consequences and the cost. And if you read the rabbinic literature, the rabbis who wrote about Mary and the Jesus, they labored Mary as adulteress and labeled Jesus as illegitimate child. Sometimes probably we as believers, as Christians, can't read such a literature. What a nasty stuff they have written. But the price she had to pay. But she understood that this is her role. This is my part I have to play in God's big mission. And I think this passage challenges us as well. When we struggle, what is my place? What is my role? What is my contribution in God's mission? Paul writes a letter to the church at Philippi. He gives thanks. And particularly in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, I thank my God, prayers for you with joy, your partnership in the gospel, your partnership in the gospel. He gives thanks. That the basis of Paul's thanksgiving is not only the reception of the gospel, but their active part in proclamation of the gospel, in partnership. They became the partners with Paul for the sake of the gospel. Partnership in gospel. They sorted out their role in God's big mission as a church. And different dimensions of this partnership. They were involved in actual proclamation of the gospel message to outsiders. And they suffered along with Paul for the gospel's sake. That church played an intercessory role. They prayed for Paul and his ministry to Gentiles. And they also provided a monetary assistance as well to Paul for his ministry. It doesn't matter how small a role is in God's big mission. The point is that how we are willing to take that role. Are we willing to say, yes me Lord, I am here. And Isaiah, God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah cried out, Lord, I am here. Send me. I am here, Lord. Send me. Yes, me, Lord. Send me. I am here. And I think this passage, and particularly the example of Mary, challenges us to find out our ways, to play our role, God's big mission. It doesn't matter how small that role could be. The main thing is that the key point is how we offer ourselves, how we make ourselves available for God's mission. And it could be in a different ways, so many ways to be part of God's mission. I hope and I'm sure that your church in some way is already a part of that. But this evening I want to leave this challenge with you. So with Mary we could say that, yes me Lord, yes me, I am here. Send me. I want to become the part of your big mission, the mission of the gospel. Let us pray. Dear God, Father, we are so grateful to you for your word and also for Dr. Luke, who accurately recorded your word and particularly this conversation and this message and this task given to Mary, and she became the instrument bringing your Messiah, your Son, into this world, our Savior. And for us, this is a message of life, but at that time, if we look through the contextual lens, it was a message of death for Mary. But Lord, knowing all the consequences, the price she had to pay, she submitted herself and willingly take up that role, Lord. Said, yes, me. Let it be according to your word. Lord, I pray that enable us to see our role in your big mission. And when we find our place, we could also say, yes, me, Lord, I am here. Send me, use me for the extension of your kingdom. I pray for this church and for Koster, for his leadership to this church. Lord, use them for the extension of your kingdom and for your glorification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.